This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. All along the West Coast, and I'm talking about all the way from Alaska down to Mexico, starfish are dying off of a disease that is straight out of a B-horror flick. It's called sea star wasting disease, and it begins with a few white spots on the starfish's body. And after just a few days, the starfish's arms start to detach, and the arms just wriggle off and slither away. And what you got left is a spot of goo on the seafloor. And a big question for scientists, what's making the starfish sick? Well, more than a year into the die-off, researchers have finally zeroed in on a suspect. A study out in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences links starfish wasting to a virus, one that's been floating around in our oceans for at least 70 years. Here to talk about it is a contributor to that study. Lasana Lahner is a marine life veterinarian at the Seattle Aquarium. Welcome to Science Friday, Dr. Lahner.
Thank you so much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, you're welcome. How big a die-off are we talking about here?
Well, we're talking actually one of the largest wildlife disease die-offs ever recorded. So pretty big deal. Millions and millions of sea stars have actually died and are continuing to die. So all the way, like you said, from Alaska down to Mexico. So it's a large region and many species are affected. We know over 20 species of sea stars are affected thus far.
Has it affected, aquariums like in Seattle?
It sure has, actually. Unfortunately, we use the water straight out of the ocean and minimally filter it. So what happens to the animals in the wild often happens to our captive critters. So unfortunately, sadly, we have lost the bulk of our sea stars in captivity as well.
Would it be? I likened it before to sort of the Ebola of starfish. Would that be going a little too far? Because it sounds like the same thing is happening in the bodies of the starfish.
Well, Ira, that is a good association. I try to avoid talking about Ebola when I talk about this just because it freaks people out a lot. And there's no indication that this would ever be transmissible to humans. But yes, this is associated with a virus, we think. We don't know the full extent to which the virus is playing a role, but we definitely have isolated a virus that seems to be more prevalent in the affected sea stars than in the not. So like you said, this virus has been around, though, for at least 70 years. So now the big question is, why are we seeing it causing disease now? Did the virus change, or did ocean conditions change, or is it not necessarily the virus and something else is going on and the virus is just along for the ride?
So it's sort of like, I'll go to another analogy, colony collapse disease in beehives. It may not be one thing, but something may be an overwhelming catalyst for it.
Definitely. And oftentimes with marine diseases, that is the issue just because the marine ecosystem is so complex. It's a little more challenging than looking at terrestrial diseases because these guys are bathed in the ocean water. So there's millions of bacteria and viruses that are naturally there, and trying to tease out which ones are actually the pathogens and which ones are not is a difficult job.
Mm. So how deadly in terms of percentage of kill does this virus do?
Well, it's pretty bad. And actually, like you said, it affects the sea stars quickly. But it actually, in the most commonly affected sea star, the sunflower sea star, it can kill them within 12 hours of first seeing the signs of disease. So it's very rapid.
Wow.
And in the areas affected, the mortality rates vary between 80 to sometimes close to 100%.
Wow.
It's pretty devastating. And it's pretty gruesome, like you said. Pretty gruesome.
Why don't we see this on the East Coast then?
Well, that's a great question. And we have seen and we have heard reports of sea stars dying on the East Coast. I think we just don't have as good a handle on the sea star disease issue on the East Coast.
Give us a little inside baseball here, if you might. How exactly did you discover? How do you discover a virus?
Well, you know, Dr. Ian Hewson at Cornell University did all that hard work. So essentially, he took the sea stars that were affected and ground them up in a bullet like you might for your breakfast smoothie. And then he extracted the DNA from that and was able to extract hundreds and thousands of different viruses and bacteria. And then it was really looking for a needle in the haystack for what disease-causing pathogen would be more prevalent in the diseased animals than the not. And this virus came to the forefront as a possibility.
So you sort of strain out when you've done your Vegematic on the sea star.
Yep, exactly.
You strain out what's left and down to viral size.
Yes, exactly. And then doing PCR on this is important because a lot of the viruses and bacteria in marine organisms are not things we can easily culture like we would, say, a bacterial pathogen that you and I experience. So Dr. Houston has the unique capacity of doing the PCR, and he's sequenced over 8 billion base pairs. So that's massive. To put it in perspective, the human genome is about 2 billion. So he's been hard at work.
Is it possible, just thinking out loud here, that climate change is playing a role here somehow?
Well, that's definitely something we're looking at. And in the next phase of this disease investigation, looking at changes such as warming oceans and our decreasing pH, the ocean acidification, is an important part of trying to figure out this complex puzzle. So definitely it could be.
So where do you go from here?
Well, from here, we're trying to keep the ball rolling. This is one of those things that's it's important to keep researching as it's happening. So sea stars are still dying. Right now, we kind of know the wave of the disease epidemic is in Alaska right now and moving west. So we're trying to get up there to Alaska to collect samples and figure out how the disease progresses in real time. So it's important to, right now, we're trying to apply for funding and keep this going. So it's really important to look at it while it's happening.
Now, we know that starfish eat a lot of shellfish, don't they? They crack them open. And does that mean we're going to see an explosion in the shellfish population?
Indeed, we are very worried about that. So sea stars, you wouldn't think it looking at the sweet, innocent-looking little creatures, but they're actually kind of the tigers of the intertidal zone, and they eat a lot of things that others don't. They're actually apex predators. So they do eat a lot of mussels and other critters that otherwise nobody eats. They also eat other sea stars. So they're pretty vicious little critters, too, when it comes to hunting and eating other animals. So we do expect that there will be changes in the ecosystem and potentially very large changes without them.
Any possibility that they could die out, could become extinct from this?
Well, there's always that possibility, and of course we're concerned about that. So to quote one of my main mentors, Dr. Seuss, unless everyone cares a whole awful lot, and nothing is going to get better, it's not. So we're working very hard to try to figure this out before that happens.
Well, it would be silly of me to try to top Dr. Seuss. So.
It is hard, isn't it?
It is. Yep. So I want to thank you for taking time to be with us today.
Oh, well, thank you so much. It really is an honor.
Well, it's our pleasure. Good luck in your work. Dr. Lasana Lanner is a marine life veterinarian at the Seattle Aquarium.